So I recently tried to listen to this.
But David Shaptai did it.
Yeah? We'll have to find out.
All right, I just, you know, I figured it would
yeah,
be
it was
good
a
to
tomorrow
hear
one.
The Hagdama, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it. If you ever hear it,
appreciate
the feedback.
All right. Very good.
Okay, so I just want to take the opportunity to welcome Rabris. He's been participating with us the last, 5 years, basically. So, you know, we're pleased that he's going to continue to participate, you know, when he has the opportunity, and it's our schuss. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction. I want to thank Rabbi Rosenzweig for inviting me back to continue to be a part of the Kol Elyon. It's very meaningful to be part of this super group of Kol El Tamidim, and it's a tremendous kavod for me to be here. So I wanted to start our journey today, since I don't have to leave for the airport until 5:30. Shouldn't be that long. I wanted to start
the reason
the
that
journey.
My thing didn't make it is because
he has 4 points.
I think, you know, the reason I couldn't find it on...
Yeah, we could break from
the reason I probably didn't get into YU Torah, as I think, you know, I spoke so long that, you know, maybe the tape recorder broke or something. Yeah.
Server.
But,
couldn't
you know,
handle all that.
So we can do 5:30 is not a problem.
Okay. So we'll start the journey in Maseches Tmura and Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara indicates that there are two different types of ways in which Tmura can take place that we derive from the Pesukim of Lo Yachalifenu V'Lo Yamir Oso. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan Lo Yachalifenu V'Shel Acherim V'Lo Yamir Oso V'Shel Atzmo. Seems to be two different ways in which Tmura can take effect. One is where a person does Tmura with his own Korban. He was Makdish a Korban, and he takes Chulin and he says, this one it shall be Zutacha Zu. And he does a Maisa of Tumura. But the Gemara indicates that there's also a possibility of doing B'shel Acherim with somebody else's Korban. But that's difficult to understand. And yet it seems to be a Gzeres HaKasuv. So the Gemara asks, Hai B'shel Acherim Hechidami. How does this come about? Inema Behema Dehekdesh Didei V'chulin Di'alma. If you say that it's just the Hekdesh is his and it's Chulin Di'alma, Mi Matzi Maktish Ishki Aktish is Beso Kodesh L'Hashem Amar Rachmana. That if the idea is that it's somebody else's chulin, so he can't be makdish somebody else's behema because there's a gzeres hakasuv giag ish giagdish is beso. It has to be beso b'shuso, akor b'shuso. It has to belong to him. It won't work. Vela, so you'll say, how is it acherim? It's acherim because the behema de hekdish is not his hekdish. It's somebody else's hekdish. Behema de hekdish the alma. The chulin dite, okay, the chulin, the animal that he's trying to endow with kedusha, that's it. So mi maspis, b'davar she'eino shelo. You can't be maspis with an animal that doesn't belong to you. So the olam, behema de hekdish, the alma of a chulin dite. So says the Gemara, we have to figure out some way that on the one hand, we make it shel acherim. On the other hand, he's not being maspis bedavar she'eino shelo. So how do we accomplish? So how do we accomplish this? The olam bebehema dehekdesh the alma bechulin didei kigon the alma married to behema dehekdesh must be talking about a case where it is acherim, but the acherim somehow gave him rishus. And what's the lashon that the person who was makdish the other behema gives this individual so that he can do a maisa tumua bebehema shel acherim? So this other person says, kol harotze la'amir bebehemto yavo v'yomir. Anybody who wants to come and do a maisa tumua gizunta heit, they can come and call the kvin yeseh v'yeko kol harotze la'amir yavo v'yomir. You can come and you can go about doing this. So it's a question as to how this is working. On the one hand, the Gemara is clearly indicating that this is something separate and distinct from B'shel Atzmo, so that it is in a realm of behema belonging to someone else. On the other hand, the Gemara indicates that there has to be some sort of a transfer of a right or ability from the original Bailim to the person who's going to be doing the Maisa Tumura. So is this some sort of a form of Shlichus? Apipashis, it's not a form of shlichus. The Yerushalmi goes so far as to say, Hamir Yamir Velo Yedei Shliach. The Tzmur can't even take place Ayedei Shliach. We don't have to paskin like the Yerushalmi per se, but there is such a Yerushalmi. Also, if it would be Ayyadei Shliach, we generally have a principle of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso, and then how is it two different categories of Bishel Atzma and Bishel Acherim? Then it would all be considered to be Bishel Atzma. So Al Pi Pashtus, this Bishel Acherim is not working through the mechanism of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso, it's working through some other mechanism. On the other hand, it does appear to have to be some sort of a connection. So this sort of confusion or vague area of what it means when we say comes back into the picture in Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Beis, because the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Beis discusses the question as to whether a goy, whether an akum, is able to effectuate a temura. And the Gemara brings a machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi regarding kodshe ovdei kochavim. We'll see that there might be two different categories of discussion over here. One is kodshe ovdei kochavim, and what kind of powers and limitations do they have? And the second may be, what is it that an akum can do and an akum can't do? And it could be that this is the nature of the question in the Gemara. But the Gemara seems to conflate the two, at least for purposes of presenting this question of Oved Kochavim Mahu Sheyamir. So says the Gemara, we have a machlokis. Kachay of the Kochavim Lonanim Lamolim and Chayabin Aleim Shumpigo Nosa Vitame. So if I have kachi of the kachavim, there are a lot of limitations to them. There's no, at least on a deraisa level, there is no me'ila, there's no chia for pigo, for nosa, for tome, and we see that they can't have temura. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. And Rabbi Yossi comes along and he says, I'm a Rabbi Yossi, but kulan ani roa lahachmir. If you look at the hemshech of the Gemara, the Gemara explains how Rabbi Yossi derives from various psukim that there can be pigul, there can be nosa, there can be tummy with respect to the kodshe akum. There is no discussion in the Gemara about how it is that Rabbi Yossi would derive lahachmir with respect to the temura question. If one was only basing themselves on what is explicit in the Gemara, it's not clear from the Gemara that Rabbi Yossi is necessarily arguing with respect to Temura. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is only arguing with respect to everything that is explicitly mentioned in the Gemara, where he finds some sort of Xeris HaKasum, these various features of Mila, Pigel, Nosa, Tami, and so forth would be applicable to Kachi Akum. That's kind of one question. But the Gemara at the end of this presentation of the machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi says, "Ketani mia enos in temura." So what's the question? We had brought a question as to whether a nachri is able to be osed temura, but it says that kodshe ovdei kochavim enos in temura according to Rabbi Shimon. So we see from here that clearly he can't make temura. So the Gemara recasts the question and says, well, what we're talking about is behikdish ovdei kochavim liskaper Yisrael. The Ovei Kochavim was Makdish the Bema for the purposes of Yisrael receiving the Kapara. So do we go after the Makdish, or do we go after the do we go after the Miskaper? Because the Pashup Shad of the Gemara, the way it's generally understood by almost everybody, is that we've rejected completely the notion that an Ovei Kochavim can effectuate Tzemura. And the only question is, if the Ovei Kochavim was the origin of the Kedusha of the Behema, but it was sanctified for purposes of a Yisrael receiving Kapara, so is this Behema now subject to Temura al Yedei Yisrael? That's the Pashut Pshat. Nachri for sure out of the picture, Yisrael is a Safek, and it's left as a Teku. As we'll see, maybe if we ever get to the end of this Chabura, we'll see that the Rambam has a completely different understanding, because the Rambam always likes to make things interesting. So has a completely opposite understanding of everything that is being discussed in this sugya, as the subject of a lot of discussions in Achronim. But let's start with the Tosfos over here. So Tosfos asked an obvious question. You brought a machlokis tanaim. You have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. Usually we paskid like Rabbi Yossi. Why are we ignoring the poor Rabbi Yossi over here? We were asked the question whether Nachri is osetimur. Rabbi Yossi said, "Bekulan roani lahachmir." that I think you should be machmir in everything. Tosfos understands that includes even what's not explicit in the Gemara. That includes Temura. That Rabbi Yossi would presumably be holding, according to the Shita, that a Nachri would be able to make Temura. So he says, "Im Tama, v'dilma Rabbi Yossi kibay." So Tosfos says, so maybe the question is according to Rabbi Yossi. You'll say that it's obvious if Rabbi Yossi says v'kulon ahachmir, then I don't have a question. That of course Rabbi Yossi would hold that a nakri is also tamur. So the v'kulon ahachmir. So he says v'yesh lomar t'nichle likume abaye apel Rabbi Shimon. Says no, the Gemara wanted to make the question even according to Rabbi Shimon. You can explain if you look at the Gemara. The Gemara here and elsewhere seems to spend a lot of time in Rabbi Shimon. We paskin the halacha like Rabbi Shimon, even though normally we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Od yesh lomar de al kochav to Rabbi Yossi lo efshelut mei habaya, that you can't really ask the question according to Rabbi Yossi. The kimin disle deos in tzmura, that since he holds that kachay of the kochavim can make tzmura, that pilon tins lomar the hainu ayah de Yisrael. And even if you say that's true, you saw. And by the way, Bachama, Ima Ovi Kachoyim Atzmo Efshela Sosa. And the question is that the Ovi Kachoyim, whether the Ovi Kachoyim himself can make Tzmura. So here, Tosfos acknowledges that there is a possibility that we can break down the sugya into two different components. One component being, what is the nature of Kashe of the Kachavim? Are they subject to Tzmur? And the second component being, can an Ovei Kachavim himself make Tzmur? And maybe then he says, maybe that's the question that's being posed by the Gemara. The question being posed by the Gemara, you can say, could be asked even within Rabbi Yossi, right? That perhaps, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is just saying that the Kachim themselves are subject to Tzmura, but it's not clear, which means that Yisrael could make a tmura, can do a maisa tmura with a korban that was niskadesh ayide ove kochavim. But the question is, can the ove kochavim himself make tmura? So he says, you can't ask that question. Halamatzi samis. That question wouldn't get off the ground. The Gemara doesn't need to have a discussion about that question. The Alkokin Yisrael must be so, because if a Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yossi, has the ability to make Tzmura through a korban of an Ove Kochavim, the only way the Yisrael would be able to do that, based on the discussion that we started out with, right, on Daf Tesa Amun Aleph, is if there is some sort of an authorization. We said there has to be some sort of a transfer of right or ability from the one who is makdish the korban to the one who is performing tzmura, even in those cases where the tzmura takes place ayidei achirim. So therefore, that would have to be in a case of tzarek shiyama ovei kochavim, where the ovei kochavim said the lashon, right? This magical lashon that we already found in Tesa Amud Aleph, of kol arotz l'hameh yavo v'yomer. V'im ovei kochavim atzmo eino se tzmura, and if the ovei kochavim himself can't make tzmura, hech efshe lasos shliach, should be the girsa over here. How would it be possible for the Ovei Kochavim to appoint a shlech? There's a Shita Mikubetzis here, which is small os tesbav, which spells out the question of Tosfos as to why it's obvious that if the korban can be subject to Tzmura Ayidei Yisrael, then it must be that the original Makdish, namely the Ovei Kochavim, would be capable of making Tzmura himself, because after all, he's transferring the koach that he has. Says that this is based, if you look at the conclusion of Os Tesvav in the Shita Mikubetzis, Be'im Hu Eino Yachal Lahamir, Gam Anu No Lo, if he can't do the Tzmura himself, namely Mr. Ovei Kochavim, Lo Nucha Lahamir B'Shevil V'Shuso, we can't do it for him, or we can't do it with his korban. Dechol Milsa Dehu Lo Matzi Avid, Shlicha Nami Lo Matzi Avid. Because we have a general principle that Kol Milsa Dehu Lo Avid, Iyo Shlicha Lo Matzi Mashvi. This is a Gemara in Nazir, which goes from Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis to Yud Beis Amud Beis. That's where the main sugya is of this general principle that if a person is not able to do it himself, then he wouldn't be able to appoint a shliach. So this raises a couple of questions within Tosfos. First of all, are we dealing with actual shlichus over here? We're under the impression, based on the beginning of the discussion today, we weren't really dealing with shlichus, because the Lashon Kol HaRotze LaHamir, we understood, is explaining a case of Ayidei Acherim, where it can't be full-fledged shlichus, and yet Tosfos seems to be applying this principle. Secondly, if it isn't shlichus, then how and why would we apply the principle of komilsad lo'avid iyo shliach nami lo'matzi mashvi? Why would we apply that principle if that principle is ostensibly only a principle in the realm of shlichus? So just to give a little bit of a background, what is the case in the Gemara in Nazir? The case in the Gemara in Nazir is the famous situation, Rabbi Yochanan brings the din, that if somebody sends a shliach to be mekadesh an isha, shliach goes out, shliach dies, so the person is aser b'chol nashim shebe'olam. The mishaleach is not allowed to marry any woman whatsoever. And that's because, you don't know, maybe this woman is related, it's an erva, relation to the woman that the shliach married him off to, because chazaka shliach osa shlichuso, we just don't know who the shliach married him off to before the shliach died, and presumably nobody should be allowed to marry anybody, Tosus points out, but okay, so it's a knas that we're imposing upon this individual. Everyone else is allowed to be somech on the rope, but this person is not allowed to be somech on the rope, he's not allowed to marry any woman. But says Rabbi Yochanan, I'll give an exemption to the person. If there was a girl who didn't have any close relatives, and now we know that the girl is, and now this man, the Mishaleach, goes out into the world and wants to marry this girl, and there was nobody who she was related to who the Shliach could have possibly married her off to, could have possibly married to the Mishaleach, so then the Mishaleach now would be allowed to marry this woman. What if, says Rabbi Yochanan, at the time of the appointment of the Shliach, the woman didn't have any relatives who were available. See, she had a sister, but it happens that the sister was married at the time. And then, 2 days later, the sister's husband died or divorced her, and then it would have been possible to marry the sister. So, says Rabbi Yochanan, then in that case, it would be okay to marry this woman afterwards, because when the Mishaleach appointed the Shliach, the Mishaleach only appointed the Shliach ki mashvi Shliach b'milsa d'kayma kameh. He only appointed the Shliach for that which was right in front of him. However, b'milsa de lo kayma kameh lo mashvi Shliach. However, since it was for any a matter which he would not have been capable of performing himself at that moment in time, so he did not appoint a shliach to perform for anything that he himself would not have been capable of at that point in time. And the Gemara later on recasts this phraseology as lomashi inish shliach el b'milsa demotzi avid hashta b'milsa delomotzi avid le hashta lo mashvi. So the principle seems to be that when one does appoint a shliach, one only appoints a shliach for that which they are able to do at that moment in time. Even if it's something which they would be able to do, say, 2 days later, and then the shliach does it on their behalf, the shlichus would not work for that purpose. And that's why the mishaleach would be allowed to marry a girl whose sister at the time of the appointment of the shlichus didn't have any relatives who were available, even if they became available afterwards. That's a question as to whether this is an inability on the part of the Mishaleach, or whether it's just an umnuna that the Mishaleach did not have that in mind at the time of the Minoi Shlichus. So just to kind of make this a little bit more interesting, I'll divert for a couple of minutes at this moment in time with a little bit of drush. You know, I usually save the drush for the end, but you know, I'll throw in some drush in the middle. There's a famous vort. It's actually even vort in the Sefer Moedim LaHalakha. It's one of the cute vortlach that people say at the Seder table, where the Baal Haggadah says from Arami Oved Avi, Bikesh Lavan Lakor Es Hakol. Elsewhere, it's spelled out exactly what he wanted to be okay, but the Baal Haggadah doesn't spell out what he wanted to be okay, so it was left to speculation. So how was it that he wanted to be okay Es Hakol? So a number of Meforshim, you'll find this in the Paradis Yosef, you'll find this in the Ravid Azov, you'll find it in a lot of the standard Parshanut Svarim. They say that the Pshat is that Laban wanted to kill Eliezer. Eliezer was appointed by Abraham to marry off Yitzchak. And why is it that Laban wanted to kill Eliezer? Because if Eliezer would be killed off, so then he would have been okay with Sakop, because Yitzchak wouldn't have been able to marry anybody afterwards. Because the halacha is that if Mesa Shaliach Asa B'chol Nashim Sheba Olam, and that's how he wanted to be okay with Sakop. So already those who are a little bit more, you know, lumdish ask, but what do you mean that there were still, you know, other women who would have potentially been available, because the Shlichus specifically excluded the Benos Kanan, so then he could have at least gone and married one of the Benos Kanan. So they answer, yeah, but Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima, he couldn't marry Benos Kanan, that wouldn't have been an option, so he still would have been Asa B'chol Nashim Sheba Olam. But you can ask a much better question. See, this question with a question that some of the Achronim ask on this Pshat, they ask another question on this Pshat, they say, what do you mean, Bikesh Laban Lakor Esakol? If you look at the Midrashe Halacha, and Rashi, you know, quotes that who was it who wanted to kill Eliezer? It was Besuel who wanted to kill Eliezer, not Laban. Besuel had in mind to kill Eliezer. He was Bikesh La'akev, Ubav, and Nigaf, and he ended up being afflicted himself. Now, the Midrash doesn't say he wanted to kill Eliezer, so it says he wanted to be Ma'akev. The Baal HaTurim says, yeah, he wanted to kill him. He has a whole story about poison. You might be able to read this between the lines in the Targum Yonasan as well. Not 100% clear that he prepared, but the Baal HaTurim is very clear that he prepared some poison and the poison got switched. Had some, you know, princess bride magic, whatever. And in the end, they ended up having the poison in front of Besuel, and the poison that was intended for Eliezer was imbibed by Besuel, and he died. And that's why, when it came time afterwards to seal the deal, Besuel was no longer around. So it was Besuel who wanted to kill Eliezer. It wasn't Laban who wanted to kill Eliezer. That's not entirely true, because if you look at the Medrash Rabbah indicates that when Eliezer arrived, Laban did want to kill him, and when it says that Eliezer invoked the Shem Hashem and he was kind of suspended in air, so Laban saw that he wasn't going to be able to kill Eliezer. So it could be that at least at some point in time he did want to kill Eliezer, but Apo Piken, in terms of the famous, you know, story of the poison, it appeared that this was Besuel's idea and not necessarily Laban's. But there's a better question. The better question is that who says that Yitzchak wouldn't have been able to marry anybody? He would have been able to marry Rivka. He would have been able to marry Rivka. Who did Rivka? The only way Rivka would have become prohibited is if she had relatives who the Shliach could have presumably married her off to. There's no record, as far as I can tell, that Rivka had any sisters. And Rivka's mother was Rivka's mother was married. Rivka's mother was married to Besuel. So how in the world would this ruse have worked? That if he would have been killed off, that this would have resulted in Yitzchak not being able to marry anybody. Not only would he have been able to marry, but he even would have he would have been able to marry women who didn't have close relatives at the time of the Minoy Shlichus. But he would have been able to marry even Rivka herself. So I thought that maybe one could say, based on the Gemara in Nazir, that if you look at the Psukim, so what happens after we know, according to the Medrash, that Besuel died? So it could be that's the point in time in which a Laban, who had previously, according to the Medrash, wanted to kill Eliezer anyway, now he saw an opportunity to really accomplish some good by killing Eliezer, right? So if Besuel is no longer around, it's the Vayomer Achia Ve'ima, that the brother and the mother, right, the Laban and his mother said, Teisheva Nara Itanu Yamima Vasor Achar Teilech, that we should have, don't leave so fast, give us a little bit of time. So it could be that this was Laban's idea, that he had a great opportunity at this moment in time to kill Eliezer. Because had he killed Eliezer at this moment in time, so now his mother was a single woman. Since his mother was a single woman, so now killing Eliezer really would cause him to be Asa B'chol Nashim, at least the Asa to Rivka. That's the main thing. Okay, Rasakol means that we're going to deprive Klal Yisrael of the woman who is supposed to be one of the Arba Imos. He's not going to be able to marry Rivka anymore. And you'll say that, Rivka's mother can say, this is also brought in Shulchan Aruch, if the woman, the relatives say, he didn't marry me, I know for a fact he didn't marry me. That's why the Pasuk says, Vayom Achia Rima, she was in on the plan. We generally assume that to marry off a girl, after the father had died, if it's going to be Kiddushei Derabanan, can be done by either the brother or the mother. That's the generally accepted girsa, the Rosh and the Rif, the Gemara there in Yevamos. So why does he have to say the brother and the mother? She was in on this. Eliezer saw that he was in trouble. So v'yamaliyem al te'acharuos, he said, no, you can't push me later in time. Al te'acharuos. At the time of the Minoy Shlichus, your mother was still married to your father. V'ashem itzliach tarki. At the time of the Derech, when I was sent out, your mother was still married to your father, and therefore I wasn't appointed a shliach to marry off your mother. Wouldn't be a part. Nobody could even suspect me of having married off your mother if you kill me now. So Yitzchak's still going to be able to marry Rivka Shalchuni. Therefore, you send me because there's absolutely no point in keeping me around. As we see in the next pasuk, they capitulated. Why they capitulated? Because they realized they got the halacha wrong. Since at the time of the Minoy Shlichus, Pesuo was still around. Therefore, they wouldn't have been able to prevent Yitzchak from marrying Rivka, even in the event that they killed Eliezer. So that was just a little
question
bit of
question is whether the kiddushin mif was only going to be a kiddushin mif, whether it really would have been an asar al kolonashim shavola.
So that's another. That's what they also say, Pshat, that this was it was only going. There was only a kiddushin, but they wanted to make it a kiddushin,
that
and that was also
a chat
because they wanted to convince Rivka to be Mimaenis, you know. In any event,
right.
So therefore,
but once that's true, so then at that point, even if the shlichus was to kick in, there wouldn't have been a kiddushin.
They wanted to stop
the kurva.
They wanted to stop the kiddushin from happening altogether. It was a double plan. They were, you know, planning in the alternative. We'll try to kill Eliezer before anything happens, even a kiddushin mion. If we're not successful at killing him, at least we'll make it a kiddushin mion, so still she'll be able to be my enes and undermine the entire kiddushin before she becomes a gedola. You know, he was a clever guy. He was like a lawyer, so he had, you know, contingency plans. But this would have been the ideal plan to stop it from taking place altogether. All right. So anyway, moving right along. So the Gemara there indicates that we do have this principle. However, this principle is applicable to cases of shlichus. So let's break down the analysis into two different parts. First of all, this lashon of kol avot zlohami yava v'yamir. Is it clear that it's not in fact a lashon of shlichus? So this is a machlokas between two deos in the Tosos in Gittin on Daf Sam Mechvah, because the Mishnah there says that if a person, say, is lying in a pit of some sorts, and he says, Ko shamea, ko es koli, yiktov geli ishti. A person just says, anybody who hears my voice should write again. And the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, that's a perfectly fine minoy. That even though he hasn't appointed a specific person, he just says, whoever happens to hear my voice should write again for my wife. That's considered to be a perfectly valid minoy. That's what we do. In all of the Kisut news, let's say if a person who goes out to war, so the generally accepted practice, goes back all the way to the days of David HaMelech, and according to some even earlier, but certainly to the days of David HaMelech, anyone who would go out to Muhammad would be Kosev Geli Ishto. What does that mean? Machlokas, exactly what that means. So the version which is generally implemented Ad HaYom HaZeh is that a get is not written right away, but the person just writes an authorization that if they're missing from action for 12 months or so, so then they appoint a sofer to write the get, they appoint two eidim to sign the get, they appoint a shliach to deliver the get to the wife, and that's considered to be a valid minoy because the person has actually named, it's not an ome imu or mili, they've actually named the specific individuals who are going to deliver the get, who are going to write the get, who are going to sign the get, who are going to deliver the get to the wife. But the person might disappear from action 5 years after they leave. And at that point in time, maybe the sofer they appointed is no longer going to be alive or capable, or the eidim they appointed is no longer going to be alive, or the shliach they appointed is no longer going to be alive. So there's a catch-all phrase, which is put in all of these documents. We did a few of these documents with some of the men who went out, particularly chaplains, who went out in the Persian Gulf War. I remember when I was at the Besdin. So in Eretz Yisrael, they used to do these documents, and then the chief rabbinate did away with them. I think maybe the chief rabbinate of the army did away with it because they were afraid that it would lower morale. So at a certain point in time, they did away with it. It was a machlokis, whether this was a good idea or a bad idea, but you know, we didn't get the memo. So we still did it even as recently as the Persian Gulf War. But in order to cover that situation, so the next line of the Minoy, which is both written and stated orally, says, I also appoint anybody who sees this document to be a sofer to write the get, and anybody who sees this document to be witnesses to sign the get, and anybody who sees this document to be a shliach to deliver the get. So that's equivalent to kol hashomea. That's considered to be a sufficient designation, because you're designating a specific circumscribed group of people. Those people who are going to hear your voice, those people who are going to see the document, are being appointed. So Tosfos asks, well, what if I have a different lashon? What if I have the lashon of kol harotze liptov get, yiptov get liishti? Anybody who wants to write a get can write a get for my wife. So Tosfos says, but that would seem to be exactly the same thing. And yet, the Gemara in the Nedarim and Daf Lamed Vav says that if somebody is mudar hanam mechavero, and the person who he's not supposed to supply benefit to says kol harotze litrom yavo et takri, at my crops yavo v'yitrom, anybody who wants to be toreim, you know, can go and be toreim, and this person comes along and he's toreim, that's not considered to be hana. So why is that not considered to be hana? So the Gemara indicates that it's not considered to be a shlichus, it's not considered to be enough of a direct relationship. So Tosu says, So that's odd. So how come here kol hashomea is good enough, and over there kol harotze litrom is not considered to be a shlichus? So Tosfos says, no, you know what? It really is a shlichus. It's a good shlichus, but for purposes of mudar hana, you need a more direct relationship. You need for the person to, you know, ask the favor of the other individuals, not supposed to supply them with hana. And as long as that doesn't occur, so it's not going to be a violation of mudar hana. Then Tosfos gives a second teretz, and the second teretz, Tosfos says, maybe on the other hand, maybe kol hashomea is considered to be a more direct form of designation, because you're designating a specific person who hears your voice, and kol harotze litrom, you're not designating anybody, you're just making it available for the whole world. You're not saying this specific group of people hear my voice, you're just saying the whole world, and the whole world kol harotze liktov ge yiktov ge liishti. So that wouldn't be considered to be shlichus altogether. So it's a machlokas between the two deus of Tosfos. It's a machlokas Ramban and Naran. The halacha, that the Ran holds that this is considered to be shlichus, and the Ramban holds that this is not considered to be shlichus, and there is no hachra, la halacha, one way or another, whether this is considered to be shlichus or whether this is not considered to be shlichus. So that's the question. In fact, in Hilchos Gittin, this is not conclusively paskin one way or another. And the Beis Shmuel says that, in fact, this would depend on whether you hold that get requires shlichus or get doesn't require shlichus altogether. Ksivas a get, it's a machlokes whether it requires shlichus. According to Tosfos in Gittin Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, explaining the Mishnah there, Kol Kshein Liptov Es Get V'Lo Chayv Shelter V'Katan, so Tosfos says, how is the Chayv Shelter V'Katan can be kosher to write a get? And it's a question, under what circumstances? Is it the Tofis? Is it the Torah? Is it only if Echad Gadol or Pikeach Omer Al Gabav, or even Kipeach Lo Omer Al Gabav? Maybe it's okay with the Tofis even without Pikeach Omer Al Gabav, with the Torah only if Pikeach Omer Al Gabav, so we won't get into all of those fine-tuned distinctions. But Tosfos says, how could it ever be possible? The Lab B'nei Shlichus. Tosfos says, yeah, you don't need Shlichus. Who said you need Shlichus for get? You just need that it's written Lishma. So the reason why you need a very specific type of designation is in order to create the Lishma. But otherwise, in terms of shlichus, you don't really need shlichus. And the Tor and Simen Kof Kof Gimel quotes from the Reed, and the Rama also holds this way, that no, a get really does require shlichus. So the Beis Shmuel says that if the Lashon of Kol HaRotze Lichtov Es HaGet is considered to be a Lashon Shlichus, so then fine, so then you'd be able to write a get and take care of the get, and the woman would be Niskareshes. However, if it's not a Lashon Shlichus, so then the get would be no good. The get would be no good whether you hold that get requires a Shlichus, then for sure it's no good because it's not a Lashon Shlichus. But even if you hold that a get doesn't require Shlichus, so according to Tosfos, you still have to create some type of a connection. You have to create some type of a designation in order to have a lishma, in order for the get to be written lishma. And since this is not a powerful enough lashon to be considered to be a lashon shlichus, so once it's not a powerful enough lashon to be considered a lashon shlichus, So then it would not be good, even according to Tosos, who holds that a get does not require shlichus. And halacha lemaise, the Aruch HaShulchan and Simon Kuf Mem Gimel, that's where the Beis Shmuel is found as well, says that this would be a speka d'dina. That if you had such a case, then the entire get would be a speka d'dina. The entire kuf mem aleph, excuse me, the entire get would be a suffik. Yes. What is the Gemara?
Why does Tosfos omit sugya d'tura d'aftes? If he's contrasting Gittin with Hanah, with Mudra Hanah,
why does Tosfos in Gittin omit the sugya and t'mura d'aftes?
Well, he learned the sugya in t'mura.
So,
the issue, if he's the subject about Mudra Hanah, he felt it worthwhile to ask it as a hash and then to bring down 2 days about whether it's really shtiklis or not.
Well, the Gemara there sounds like, because the Havni that Tosfos had there was that the Gemara Nadarim is a proof that it is not shtiklis. And that was the issue whether or not that stands the Maskan or not.
You could say like this.
Way. We don't know if he needs it.
You could say like this. You could say that according to the second day of Tosas in Achinami, so the Gemara and Tzmura on Daf Test maybe is a further raya. Assuming that's the case. In other words, is Tosfos over here assuming that Tzmura does not in fact require Shlichus? So that's a question. So that is the assumption of the Kilos Yaakov. I put on the Marvel Comus a piece by the Stipler. Stipler talks about it. The truth of the matter is others talk about it too and have similar formulations, but this is a very clear and straightforward formulation. The Stipler says two things. Number one, he says that it's clear that the Lashon of a Kol HaRotze Lahamir can't be a Lashon Shlichus for the reason that we articulated at the beginning, because the whole purpose of that Lashon was that it would be considered to be Ayidei Acherim and not be considered the Ayidei Atzmo. So therefore it can't be functioning as a Lashon Shlichus. And yet, at the same time, there still would be operative this principle of komilsa de lo avidio shliach lamatzi mashvi. And why is it that this principle would still be operative? So he says that this principle is not dependent upon shlichus per se. Much, he doesn't say it quite this way, but much in the same way that the Beis Shmuel says with respect to a get, that having a valid lashon is not dependent upon whether a get requires shlichus when there's another principle at play. Namely, there you have to have a lishma connection between the baal and the sofer. Tosas holds the cost of law goes on the sofer, but still it has to be lishma. So you have to have a proper connection. So too here, in order for tzmura to work, posits the stipul gon, there has to be some sort of a connection. If some stranger would come along and do tamura on somebody else's korban, then that would not work. And he says this is really the gzeiras hakasuv that emerges from the sugya later on Dav Zayin Amud Beis of with respect to a kohen not being able to do tamura with a bechor. And Rabbi Akiva explains that the reason is because it says Vahayahu Usmuraso Yeah Kodesh Hekan Kedusha Kolala Bebase Bailim Af Tamura Bebase Bailim, that the Tamura has to take place in such a fashion where it is somehow still under the control and supervision of the original Bailim. But since here when the Kohen receives the Bechor, it's outside of the supervision of the original Bailim, and therefore they can't transfer any more of their koach, then Tzmura would no longer become a possibility. So he says this is a general klal that we derive from this pasuk with respect to Bechor for all Dine Tzmura, that in order for an Acher to perform Tzmura, it has to be through a valid authorization of the Baal when the Baalim still have some ability to be able to transfer their koach tamura to the other party, Masha Enkein, in the case of Bechor. So once you have that need, says the Kilos Yaakov, you need some type of a lashon that is going to create a mesiras koach, is going to create this transfer of power of ability. The next shav shikach bailim meura basiya satzmura, so that it will be considered that the koch bailim is meuav in the asiyas tamura, that it somehow is bound up together in the making of the tamura. So here too, and that's, and once you require the participation of the initial bailim, then you're going to require that the bailim also have that koch, because if they don't have the koch, they have no koch to transfer. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle of Kol Milsa de Lo Avidiyu, Shliach Nami Lo Matzi Mashvi, even though there is no absolute requirement for a Shlichus, and even though this Lashon is not in fact a Lashon of a Shlichus. Well, if you're going to accept that Chiddush, then it's possible that you might be able to come up with another Chiddush, and say that in a case where a get is written, where the only authorization that was given, I've never had a case like this, but where the only case authorization that was given was kol havotze lichtov get, yavo v'yichtov get, so maybe I now have a sfeik sfeika in favor of a kosher get if I accept this svar. Number one, I'll take your question immediately afterwards, Sam. Unless it's something you need to ask right now. Okay, good. Okay, you have to be very patient. So the so number one, sapeg the kol harotze lichto get is a lashon shlichus, in which case the Beis Shmuel said that the get would certainly be kosher, and sapeg number two, that even if it's not a lashon shlichus, if a lashon of kol harotze is enough in the case of tumula to create a connection between the bailim and the person doing the tamura, so it's considered called bailim u'ur basiya sa tamura, maybe one can argue that it's also considered in the case of a get, the koach bailim u'ur basiva sa get. And if all that I need is lishma, if I hold like Tosfos, and I don't hold like the Ri and the Ramah quoted by the Torah, that I absolutely need shlichus in a get, so then even if kol harotze lichto get is not a lashon shlichus, there's at least a 50% possibility the get is kosher. Not only that, but rova poskim are of the opinion that a get, the ksivas a get, does not in fact require lashon shlichus, that is a pashup shot like Tosfos, in which case, if I have if I have another suffix that I can throw into the equation, like for example, where the Isha was a suffix nekudeshis to begin with, then it's possible that there might be room, according to this Sevara, to be mako, to be makshir, such a get. Yes, your question.
I mean, this might be an obvious point, but even if it's true that by Tamura, on roads is enough from the Sirius Koach just to create that, you know, necessary Sirius between the Bala Karma and the name here, by Shlichus again, you might need much more than that.
He's saying the Shema again, not the Shlichus.
Yeah. You could argue that the Shema requires something stronger, but the question is, what does that mean, that you require something stronger? Meaning that if I don't require something as powerful as Shlichus, in order to create the lishma, so it could be that maybe anything which is just one notch less, but that creates a clear connection, a clear understanding, and a clear authorization between the Baal and the Sofer might in fact be good enough.
What's the parallel here again? What's the raya from Bechor by Cohen?
That over here, this is a lashon that clearly does not constitute shlichus the way that we're understanding the sugya. Okay, just according to the stipler for a moment.
Right,
okay, she's not a lashon of shlichus, and yet nonetheless, it's considered to be a powerful enough lashon to accomplish that which I need with respect to tumur, which is a mesiras koach.
Where does he get that there's a mesiras koach part?
He gets that from the sugya on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, which indicates that you need the connection between the Baal HaKorban and the one doing Tzimur, and from the Mishnah on Ches Amud Beis, with respect to why it is that a Bechor is not, that a Kohen is not able to do Tzimur with a Bechor.
So as far as the sugya on Daf Tes is concerned, there you have to get around the problem of eating the matzah with every Shalom.
Right, so he's going further, but that's why he uses the Mishnah. That's why he uses the Mishnah Chesam Beis.
Right,
so that's his main raya.
How's the? Where's? I'm
So he says like this. He says that the reason, why is it that the Kohen, presumably there's no, if all I need is a siluk on the part of the Bailim, okay, so I have a siluk on the part of the Bailim when the Kohen has the animal, right? Because it was in the it was in the possession of the Bailim, and now it's in the possession of the Bechor. Why is it that the, well, not the Kohen, why is it that the Kohen can't do the Temur at this point in time? So he says it must be the reason why the Kohen can't do this, the Kohen can't do it, is because that's what the Mishnah says, you know, v'hayahu smurasu yekodesh, that there has to be a notion of base Bailim. What's the notion of base Bailim? The notion of base Bailim is that there's a connection, there's a kesher that is forged between the Bailim and the Kohen. Now, he himself says that, no, maybe he's wrong. Maybe it's just a question that it has to be in their actual makom. So he says he can't imagine that the status of the animal should change based on its being in this makom as opposed to that makom. He thinks that's far-fetched. You could make such an argument because clearly he's building a very, you know, significant foundation here. To say that this is a din, you know, that covers all of Hilchos Temura, but nonetheless, that's the raya that is founded. Okay.
So this idea is an idea of Mesiras Koach.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. The notion of Mesiras Koach. So if you accept this Kiddush, so then you have a possible sniff in a situation, a halacha, you know, the ma'aseh situation of a get that's written with a lashon of kol arosa lechtov get. To find a spake. Yes?
Two questions. Well, to alternate model, sort of along the lines of what Noah was saying, is by Eidah the Mutzer Dabar Sheinu Shlo. So a person needs a certain shlita in order to be Oser something, and yet we find that even without an explicit Kedalash of Mino at all, as long as there's a Nikusa that Kali saw demonstrated by Abu Sa'ido, that was sufficient to allow the Yoshvi Eretz Canaan to be Oser all the Abu. So that we're going to talk about whether that's midin shlichos really, or whether that's midin that the nifusa of the bailim combined with the geula of somebody else is sufficient to accomplish that. So by tumur, the same model would work. And kol arosa lahamir is a geula of the nifusa of the bailim.
It's still a higher level, meaning that we know that there are other levels. Like, for example, in the case of truma that we mentioned with mudar hana, okay. So there is a lower level as well, which is not even considered to be sufficient authorization to take truma altogether, which is kol atorim lo yapsid. Okay. So if you wanted to say that any kind of an ichusa should be sufficient, that you didn't have to use the lashon of kol arotza lahamir yabu v'yamir, you could have said kol amemir lo yapsid. Okay, which is considered to be sort of like the lowest lashon that indicates an ichusa. You have kol hazane no mafsid in the context of tzuvus and so forth. So the fact that that we use a lashon which already does create this higher level indicates that you need something which is stronger than an ichusa per se. That's what I would say. So I wanted to now just, you know, spend a moment or two on this concept of kol milsa de lo avidiyu shliach nami lo matzi mashvi, and, you know, get back to the Tosfos and see whether in fact this would be the way that the klal is applied really makes sense in the context of this case, talking about whether or not a Nachri, whether or not a Yisrael, the way Tosfos would be understanding the proposed question, whether Yisrael would be able to be Meimer in a case where the Nachri himself would not have the Koch Temura, and Tosfos says the question doesn't get off the ground because of the klal of Komil Seglo Avidiyu, at least the way Tosfos seems to read in Pashup Shat, and the way that Tosfos is explained or explicated by the Shita Mekubetzis.
Isn't that the best raya, that it's not just a Nichusa? I mean, isn't that the cycle of what the cycle is bringing from Tosfos and Daf Beis, that it can't just be a Nichusa?
Oh, well, certainly according to Tosfos. Certainly according to Tosfos, there's no question at all that Tosfos is Tosfos.
So
you could arguably say that Tosfos is not a raya, you know, even for what Ephraim was suggesting of why Tosfos doesn't bring this in Gittin. So, you know, not every raya is brought at every single, you know, Tosfos in Shasta could be brought anyway. But one could say Pashup Shana Tosus is that this is a shlichus of some sort. Tosus uses the lashon of shliach over here. This last word is according to the Gersos that we have on the side. It's not lasso solo, but it's lasso shliach. But we're assuming that doesn't make sense because of the context of the Gemara and Daf Tes of an Aleph, that we can't be talking about bona fide shlichus over here. So, and also it would be against the Yerushalmi, which is not something that we would want to do needlessly. So so there are a few different shitos of potential limitations on this principle of kol milsa. One is the Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, brings a maise mikushta, kushta, kushtin, where there was a question that arose. He's a little bit cagey about whether anybody else gave a different answer to the question. But he says that there was other versions say that others gave an answer, not like his answer. But there was a question that arose about an arus who is going away to Medina Sayyab. Not clear exactly why he was going away. Maybe he was going away on business. But it could be he was really going away to get away from his arusa. The arusa, he appointed a sofer to write a get for his arusa. And the question was whether, assuming that, you know, as we said, according to you have to have some lasha that's going to be, you know, powerful enough to be able to create either a shlichus or the shma, as we said, so that the assumption is that the notion of kol milsa d'lo abidiyu, shliach nami lo matzi mashvi, was relevant to this situation, and he couldn't wait until his arusa would get out of her shota state. Apparently, I don't know what problem she had exactly, whether she was paranoid, schizophrenic, or exactly what the issue was, but it was Muslim that at the time that he made the appointment, she was a nishtates. And then the question was, when she would become un-nishtates, when she was become chozev nishtapes, would they be able to write the get and deliver it at that point in time? And the Mishnah Lamelech says that based on this principle, that a person can only appoint a shliach, that for that which they're capable of doing themselves, it would appear that the shlichos would not be valid. You'll argue that the case in Nazir was a case where the woman was objectively off limits, and here the woman, he does have the capacity to give her a get. It's just that there's a side issue that he has the halakha capacity, but she doesn't have the mental capacity to receive a get. So he says hakol holech el makom echad. Eloquently quoting from Koheles, saying that the considerations are the same. He also quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Yevamos says that if you say about your arusa that you're going to give her a get right after the Nisuin, and you authorize a get right now to be delivered right after the Nisuin, that works. You have that in your power. But if you say about an Isha Bialma, I'm authorizing a get right now for when she becomes married to me later on, since she's not married to you right now and you don't have the ability to give her a get right now, ain't no get. The Gemara is pretty unequivocal that would not be a get. So on the basis of that raya, I'm sorry? So Tosfos says that, Tosfos on Nun Beis Amud Beis in Yevamos, says that it's based on kol milsa d'lo abidiyu shliach nami lo matzi mashvi, but only if you hold that ain't on the makdish davash lo ba'al yolam. But assuming, like we do la halacha, that ain't on the makdish davash lo ba'al yolam, then he doesn't have the ability to do it, and therefore he can't appoint a shliach to do it. So it goes together. Once I work with that assumption, ain't on the makdish, so then the principle of milsa d'lo abidiyu shliach nami lo matzi mashvi becomes operative. That's how Tosfos understands the sugya over there.
The minoy shliach in this case was after she was already a...
No, the minoy shliach was when she was a shota.
When she was a
shota. It was nispara that she was a shota at that moment in time. So Mishnah Malach says, therefore it's not going to work. So the Noda Biyuda in his Shuvos, Madhuva Kama Ebenezer Simon Sama Gimel, I don't think I put that specific Ketshuva on the Maram Mekomos, says that based on this Mishnah Lamelech, whenever Heter Me'er Rabbanim is done, you have a bit of a problem. Because when sometimes we allow a man to marry a second wife, if his first wife becomes a shota, we suspend the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom as long as 100 Rabbanim agree. Nowadays, most legitimate cases of Heter Me'er Rabbanim are these cases of nishtatiks, where the woman just lost her mental capacity. She's in some mental institution, and she's completely mentally incapacitated. All the cases that the Beis Din of America has done of Heter Me'er Rabbanim in the last 15 years or so, they've all been cases of nishtates. Nishtates that was investigated with doctors and psychologists visiting the women and so forth. So these are, you know, the standard cases. But the halakha is that you only do a Heter Me'er Rabbanim if you mashlish a get. So you have to make a get available for the woman, so if she comes out of her stupor, never happened to the best of my ability, but if she came out of her stupor, then she would have a get that would enable her to receive her divorce and go on with her life now that her husband has married another woman. So she should be allowed to have freedom herself, and for that she would need a get. So says the Oda Biyuda, we're going to require the man to make a shvua, even though he's writing this get, we're going to require him to make a shvua that he's going to do another get if she ever recovers from her mental illness, because you have to worry, according to this Mishnah Lamelech, that the get might in fact not be a valid get based on this general principle. So that's a question. So then other poskim came along. This is found in the Shari Deya in a couple of places. The Shari Deya Tshuva Pei, and also Tshuva Reish Beis, who says that he doesn't think that this is necessarily true. If you look at the case in Yevamos, and you look at the case in Nazir, these were cases where there really was a halakhic impediment. The woman was an erva at the time that the shlichus was performed. Or at the time that somebody authorized the get, the woman wasn't married to him. He halakhically did not have the capacity to deliver the get to this woman. But in the case of the nishtates, so the impediment is not a chisaron from the standpoint of halacha, it's a chisaron from the standpoint of mitzias. The mitzias is that right now she is incapacitated. But if that mitzias would be removed, if that mitzias would go away, it doesn't require any halakhic act to go away. You say that if a man gives his wife a get after the shlichus commences, that's a halachic act. So assuming that if the man dies, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing a halachic act. But the notion of a woman just having mental incapacity and the fact that, you know, this could be removed afterwards, that's not a call from the standpoint of the Torah, of the halachos Torah, but that is mipas hametzius. Now, that's what we would call a chisaron in terms of the mitzias. And a mere chisaron in terms of the mitzias would not cause this principle to be operative. And the Machne Ephraim also makes such a suggestion. The Machne Ephraim, with respect to this suggestion, though, brings a kasha from a Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Kuf Yud. The Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Kuf Yud also talks about this principle of komilsa diu lo matzi aved sheikh vanami lo matzi mashi. It appears a few places in Shas. Basically, you have it in Nazir, you have it in Yevamos Nun Beis, you have it in Kiddushin and Daf Chav Gimel, you have it in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud, and you have it not explicitly in the Mishnah Gemara, but in Rashi and Tosos, you have it in Yevamos and Peites Amud Beis. So in the sugya on Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud, the Gemara there is talking about the right of a kohen to bring a korban in a mishmar she'eno shalo. The Gemara says, well, if he's a zaken or a chole, then as far as the avoda is concerned, you could give that to any kohen that he wants, since he could do it himself. So he could do it any kohen. He could give it that privilege to any kohen, even who's not a part of this mishmar, with respect to eating the korban, so that he can only give that privilege to the kohenei hamishmar, because he can't do that himself. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. if he's capable of doing it himself, then he should be able to assign the avoda to a shliach, and he should also be able. Okay, and he should also be able to have the rights to eat the korban. And if he doesn't have iu lo matzi of it, if he's not capable of it, so then he shouldn't be able to assign a shliach. He shouldn't be able to give away these privileges to a shliach at all. So the Gemara says, no, he's capable ayde etchak. Ayde etchak, he's capable of doing avoda. Avoda ayde etchak is a fine avoda. But achila, but the achila, which he can only do ayde etchak, is an achila gasa. Achila gasa is not considered to be a good achila, and that's the reason for the distinction. So the clear implication of the Gemara is that even when the chisaron is a chisaron in mitzius, that also would be considered to be a sufficient chisaron for purposes of applying the principle of iu lo matzi avid. Now, if I'm going to say that, I'm going to have a lot more problems on my hands, because then in every single situation where I have a chisaron mitzius, where halakhically somebody could have done something just for mitzius reasons, they're not capable, so then I'm going to have all kinds of problems. That's why you have tshuvos, very entertaining tshuvos, that are written by different achronim about Avadya Yosef as the tshuva of a person who wants to do mitzvos, tzluyos baretz in Eretz Yisrael, to be mafish reishis hageiz, and zval the chayayim bekeva, but he can't travel to Eretz Yisrael right now, so he wants to appoint a shliach, so he saw a mitzvah, he happens just not to be there. So is that, can he appoint a shliach to do it for him? So where Avadya Yosef deals with this issue in earnest. Avadya Yosef Zatzal. In earnest, he deals with this this issue. Others bring the question as to whether somebody who has his hands chopped off, can he appoint a shliach to perform the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah? Chukas Yaakov has such a tshuva. So you have a number of very.
What if he breaks his arm? I mean, what?
So others, the Noda B'Yud and others come, and as well as the Machne Ephraim, they say, we can make this much more fundamental. I have a man who wants to appoint a sofer to write a get. If I assume get requires shlichus, okay, assume like that that day, the get requires shlichus, so how could, if he doesn't know how to write a get, how can he appoint a shlichus? Okay, he can learn how to write a get. Yeah, send him to the Bell School, he'll learn how to write a get, and you know, that could be remedied. But what about the Gemara in Gittin talks about somebody is Meguyan Mitzulah Shachapo Echad Shabbe Simonin, and he's mamish, the fellow is in the process of dying, he's not capable of doing anything, and as he's laying there dying, he certainly is not going to have the capacity to write a get or to learn how to write a get, and yet nonetheless he can appoint a shliach to write the get, and he can appoint a shliach to deliver the get to his wife Medina Sayam. There's no chance in the world this guy is going to be traveling the Medina Sayam, and yet in all of these cases we allow the man to write a get. So the pashtus would seem to support the notion that chisaron mitzius can't possibly be a chisaron in shlichus, because then we'll have all kinds of crazy situations where the pashtus is that you should be able to appoint a shliach. So Tosus Yishonim, in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, that seems to indicate that in Achinami, if a man has broken arms or whatever, so then he can't appoint a shliach to do any kind of mitzvah ksiva. So one group of Achronim says, yeah, so in all of those cases, you have to assume, like the Mandam and the Get doesn't require shlicha. So what is the Ri and the Ramah do with all of those sugyas? That doesn't seem like a proper answer. So there are two different ways out of the Gemara in Baba Kama. One way out of the Gemara in Baba Kama, this kasha from the Gemara in Baba Kama, is to say that the case there of Zakin Acholeh is different because it really does create a psula halacha. Because if somebody is such a zakin or a chole, that they would be like mirsas, they'd be like trembling, they would mamish be incapable. So that's listed as one of the mumim that's applicable to kohanim, and it's not just a chisaron and mitzias, but it actually makes the person disqualified as a matter of halacha. This is the tshuva that's given by the Chikrei Lev, the Chochma Shlomo, and others, that this would make the person to actually incapable as a matter of halacha, and therefore I can't generalize from that Gemara. The Nota B'Yuda in his Madura Tinyana, the end of Simon Samach Tes, has a mahalach, which is also found, others were mekabin to this mahalach as well, to say that's a totally different story. That's not talking about the koach of a person to perform a mitzvah which is within their purview, where they are just appointing a shliach, but there's a chisaron and mitzias. That's for a person to change the halachic setting altogether. The standard halacha is that the kohanei mishmar are the ones who are privileged and who are enjoined to do the avoda. There happens to be a specific prerogative, a specific privilege, which is bestowed upon a kohen who happens to be capable, that he can encroach somebody else's mishmar. So in order to be able to have that privilege for purposes of transferring that privilege to others, so you have to meet a certain threshold. And if you don't meet that threshold, the privilege and the mitzvah didn't pertain to you altogether to begin with. Since it didn't pertain to you altogether to begin with, so of course you don't have the right to transfer that privilege to others. Yes?
This is really what I had not understood. That's really what we were trying to say. I forgot who we quoted from, but that it's a mitzias, that the shot that problem is a mitzias problem.
Right.
That is what we were trying to say. How is it a mitzias problem?
Mitzias problem is that at this point in time, normally you have the ability to divorce your wife. A person's married, so they have the ability to give a get to his wife. It happens right now that Sheep in Mitzias is not capable of receiving the get. He's understanding
why,
that
why,
as...
Why is it that Sheep in Mitzias?
In other words, it's not that...
you're saying that it's something
like,
in between.
Yeah.
Is it like a Lishmor Gita problem, or is it, you know, hospitally, she's not a bar, you know, she cannot be Miscarresha, she's...
Right, so that's the machlokas for sure.
Right, yeah, but it doesn't depend.
Sure. Right, so you could argue that there are categories. You could argue that there are categories here. That there's something like, I happen to be far away from the location. I mean, they resolve that in other ways. You're far away from the location, so efshar ayyadei kfitza, right? So, you know, efshar ayyadei, you know, gamla parcha. Maybe that was part of what Lavan was saying to Eliezer. Who says you authorized to marry off Rivka? When you were appointed, you were far away. He said, no, Hashem is safe, lucky, I had a pizza sedef, don't we? So therefore, I was capable to begin with. You know, I was omen the kach. But so that's what they say. They say that, you know, there is the possibility of, you know, in those types of cases, of it being removed, you know, much more easily, or even... You bring the woman to the man. Like, who says that you can't, you know, bring the woman all the way to the man? So Rav Yosef said it's harder to make those arguments in the case of the one who wanted to make a shliach to perform mitzvahs hatzlius b'Eretz Yisrael, because he can't say I'm going to bring, you know, Eretz Yisrael to the man. You know, if he's not able at that moment in time of being in Eretz Yisrael, so but he's okay with the svar of gamla parcha, and you know that that could potentially work.
The kapla Eretz Yisrael time.
Kapalas Yisrael Tachas Rosh. Okay, you know, but, he's. I think that that's when you're already in Eretz Yisrael. Makapal all of Eretz Yisrael Tachas Rosh. He wasn't outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. So yeah. However, you're saying something different. You're saying that when it comes to a case of nishtatis, like here, this is not merely a mitzias disqualification. It's a mitzias disqualification that puts her in a halakhic category of incapacity to receive a get that can't be, you know, cured by anything which is within our actions right now.
I think it's certainly true when they're trying to hold it.
That's if you hold that this... okay.
I think it's something like this. There's an ikuv, yeah. There are ikuvim in mitzias, and there's a whole range of those also, including how what it takes to overcome it, whether they're quantitative or qualitative, etc. That's one extreme. Then there are psulim as a result of mitzias. Right, that's a mitzias. It can change, but it generates the psul.
Right.
And then there's you know, something even in between. You know that, and that's. You know, whether you know, it's not a psul based on mitzias, but the mitzias kind of highlights psul. And then not being a bar shlichus in get or shmiras haget is a debate among the Rishonim whether or not that's a shir and gavra roi. It comes as a result of mitzias, but it's totally a psul. And it's not just a psul mitzias; it's a mitzias which is the basis of a hagdara. Of psul gavra,
right? Which I think would make it a stronger argument in the case
like
of
a
nishtates, right?
Isn't it
meaning that the case of nishtates could be more severe for this reason than the other cases. However, this argument would go further than just the argument that would say, for example, that whenever something is biyodo, so then that would be okay. That's the argument that Tosfos makes in Nazir and Daf Yudbeis Samad Aleph. So Tosfos in Nazir asks the question, how can a woman ever appoint her misharetis to be mafish chala for her? This is very relevant halacha l'maisa in terms of hafrasha chala when the dough hasn't yet been baked and she's going to leave for the day and it's not, she doesn't have the ability to do it right now. So, which therefore creates this komnasa law video. And Rabbeinu Tam suggests that now since it's biyada to bring an isa megulgeles, to be mapish in the isa megulgeles, so therefore that's not considered to be a problem. But then Rabbeinu Tam goes back on that towards the end and says that it would seem from the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Nun Beis, which kind of presents a question whether a get can be written for one's Yevama before they perform the Yibum, and the Gemara doesn't say that you definitely can do that and leaves it as kind of a teku, and Tosa says, well, it's biyado to be ba'al yibama and then give her a get that is biyado to, you know, presumably can be ba'al yibama ba'al korcha even, right? So therefore it is biyado on some level, and yet the Gemara in Yevamos does not consider that to be sufficient. So in the end, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't really seem, at least in the version of Rabbeinu Tam that we have in Nazir, seems to go back on this heter and indicate that it's only if I actually have an Issa Ba'olam at the very least, but if I have, if I don't even have an Issa that has been created yet, then I have something which is completely Chisaron. This is not a Chisaron Metzius, it's a Chisaron Maiseh. That I don't have the situation ba'olam yet, where I would be able to do the maisa. I need to do a maisa in order to create the mitzias where it would be possible for me to even perform this action. So then he seems to go back on this a little bit and to suggest that that would not be sufficient. And in Hilchos Kala, this is left as a machlokis, really, as to whether one can rely upon this svara that, you know, even for things for Issa that has not yet been niskalgel, that has not yet been rolled and not yet baked, whether one would be allowed to appoint a shliach. Some go so far as to say that even if the kemach is not ba'olam, you can appoint a shliach forever. But that's not the version of Rabbeinu Tam that we have. The Or Zeruah, Hagadol, has such a version of Rabbeinu Tam that says that, yeah, well, since you have a biyado to buy kemach liyomei olamim, therefore you can appoint a shliach forever after, because that's going to be considered to be biyado. But that's a question of what's biyado. Here we're talking about if something, let's say, is not biyado, but it's just that I have kind of like a side issue that prevents you from being able to perform the act. It's a chisaron metzius. So you could argue and say that the cases of a person's physical incapacity to perform other mitzvahs like Sivas Sefer Torah or mitzvahs atliyos be'eretz Yisrael does not create a halachic psul, but a woman's incapacity to be able to receive a get actually does create a halachic psul, and therefore that could potentially be results in a halachic psul afterwards. Result of the halakha psul of what?
Of
Mishalch of Shtus. Okay, yeah, but it's okay, fine.
Well, and therefore that might be the difference between the
well,
Shtus of the
right.
Well,
yeah.
We're not going to see that it's just
a
concern.
So
part of the issue is is the comparison problem of Shota for the husband as opposed to that of the wife.
Well,
yeah,
here's what we have.
To say that this is her halakha deficiency and therefore not his halakha deficiency. In other words, there's a lot of impediment to her being able to receive the get. That has no impact on his on whether or not we define him as having capacity to be nosy.
So that's the other sugya that's invoked here. Okay, so the other sugya that's invoked here is the sugya in Kiddushin on Daf Chof Gimel. So the sugya in Kiddushin on Daf Chof Gimel talks about the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, an Eved is not capable of receiving a get shechva from his master because he doesn't hold by the principle of gito v'yado b'ayin ke'achad. But he is capable of receiving the get al yedei shliach. Get a point to shliach, okay? Even you know to receive the get, even another eved to receive the get on his behalf. So the question raised is: I If he can't do it himself, how can he possibly appoint a shliach to do it? After all, we conclude that Kohanim, when they do the avoda, are considered to be kohane shluchei derachmana, and not shluchei didan, because if they were shluchei didan, since non-Kohanim don't have the ability to bring Kohanim, there ain't no betoras to bring Kohanim, then Kohanim wouldn't be able to bring Korbanos on their behalf. So this is the raya, the Kohanim ashluchei derachmana. So how then is it that an Eved would be able to receive the get shechur? So the Gemara answers, no, the Eved is betoras. And since he's betorah, so as long as he's betorah something, even if he doesn't have the strict ability to do it at that moment in time, since he's betorah, he has the ability to appoint a shliach. So once you bring that, and it's questionable whether you can bring that sugya as a raya, since we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. In other words, maybe this only works if you paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But if you would bring that sugya as a raya, so it would seem that whenever I have a situation of a betorah, So then the person would be able, even if they can't do it at that moment in time, they would be able to appoint a shliach, potentially.
Well, I mean, I think that's going much further than this. There, the Eved himself is somebody who has no capacity to receive this get.
Right, but he's betorah. No, it's not true. He's not the capacity to receive this get, but not the capacity to receive it from this person, but he's capable of receiving it ayideh shliach. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, he can receive the get ayideh acherim. He is capable of receiving an ayideh acherim. Yeah.
Right. So the point is, right.
Okay.
So they're saying this is. But so the chisaron there emerges from his own status. Here, in the case of the baal, doesn't have to do anything with his own status.
So the baal, no, but you could say the baal is b'torah segerishim.
That
baal,
means for sure b'torah.
I'm
saying even more.
B'torah is able to give a get.
Right.
The Baal is stronger because he's able to give again in the normal circumstances to this woman. You know, we just have this side issue with this particular case. It comes up when I have the Baal who is giving a get. If I want the Baal to give again, I'm afraid that the Baal is going to be a shelter. If I'm afraid that the Baal is going to be a shelter, how does this come up? Well, the Baal can't give again when he's a shelter, that's for sure. If a Baal authorizes again, and then he becomes a shelter afterwards, so the Gemara says, that's the sugya at the beginning of Mishachso Kodaikus, that's not going to be a good get. Now, why is that not a good get? So that's the Machlokas Torah and Rambam, as to whether it's their Isa or the Rabbanon. So what's interesting is that the Rambam holds that this is only a psul on a Rabbanon level, that we shouldn't say that, well, look, a shelter is able to be Megarish. But otherwise, it's considered to be a good mino. It comes out from the Rambam, a very interesting chiddush, that according to the Rambam, I don't apply the principle, apparently, of kol milsa in a case where the person was capable at the point of minoy shlichos, and then they became incapable after the point of minoy shlichos. In other words, the principle of kol milsa is only applicable b'shas minoy, and not with respect to what happens afterwards, b'shas maiseh, when the shliach is fulfilling the shlichus, according to the Rambam. Now, according to the Torah, it's not so. According to the Torah, it's a problem even afterwards, because the Torah says in this case that the get would be batal, would mamash be batal afterwards. So you have the problem, yes? Might be a lishma problem according to the Torah. I'll be pashtus, but the Torah says it's batal. Okay. So the question becomes, what do you do in a case where I have somebody who is, say, is in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and I want to have him give his wife a get, but not until the last possible moments, that they can live together until the last possible moment. So you're a little bit stuck, because if I might be able to get out of the komod milsa de lo avidiyu problem, according to the Rambam, but I still have the problem that the get, if I deliver it, if I write it and deliver it afterwards, when he becomes a shote, is going to be a get batel according to the Torah. According to the Rambam, it's going to be pasul midrabbanan. If I say have him authorize the get to be delivered right now, but it won't be chal until after he becomes a shote, so then, side problem, I have a Yerushalmi that says that's not going to, that's not you. I have a sheet in the Yerushalmi that says it's not going to work, right? We have
Rabbi
Yochanan Reish Lakish. Yeah. So my focus is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So what's generally done, bisman hazeh, in those circumstances, is that you have him give a get right away. because otherwise you might not be able to do a get kosher. And usually there is, when a person is already in a significant state of Alzheimer's, they have a full-time attendant who's there with them in the house. So you work out that the get is given right away, that they're completely divorced from each other according to halacha, and you let them live in the same surroundings where there's not going to be yichud because you have a full-time attendant who stays, because otherwise there's no leis breira, you know? And usually he's not capable of intimacy at that point in time. You don't have to worry even about any the yichud inside intimacy, because you get a doctor's letter that he's just not capable of it. So it's a very difficult situation. Chaim Ozer has a tshuva in Simen Chav Ches, in which he talks about a case of a man who authorized the get, and then afterwards, during the Shas Ksiba, it wasn't entirely clear if he was 100% cogent, 100% competent. And after the Nesina Saget, which was done Ayyadei Shliach, they spoke to him and he said, yeah, I understand, I gave a get. So the question was, should this get be considered to be kosher or not? And he was makshir in mitam sfeik sfeika, sfeik that maybe the halacha is like the Rambam, that it's only a psul midrabanan, and sfeik that according to the Torah, maybe the real problem is the shas nesina, but maybe the Torah holds that b'shas ksiba, you don't really require shlichus for ksiba. Maybe the halacha is like those poskim who say that you don't require shlichus for the ksiba seget. Once I don't require shlichus for the ksiba seget, then it doesn't bother us as much that the husband was not in his full frame of mind. And since the whole thing was a suffix, then maybe he was perfectly coherent. Anyway, so therefore there's room to be, it's kind of like a sfeik sfeik sfeika. Right? It gets it down to a drabanon, and then you have the suffix within the drabanon. Yeah. So that's the potential way out.
It's actually the rush in the end of Kedusha. Yeah. Has a spigosa, so it's exactly these two deos.
Yes, that mahalach.
These two deos, so if you have somebody who's a go, who's a dick, this is a machokas for Sharna, where the goses. Whether ghosts can be
That's a different story, because the Rabbeinu Yoel says I think a little bit differently. Says that even if he's not in his full das, that he's able to.
So part of the discussion
right.
within that is whether you say kali vayavich lichi vayimash.
Right. And
if he wasn't a ghost, and he became a ghost,
right? Because api pashtus,
even
at the moment in which he makes the appointment, he's not capable. So then you can't get off the ground.
Right. So
right.
If he was capable then, and then by the time you gave it, he was a ghost, and you assume that ghost is a psul. So that's 2 days in the rush.
Right.
In the sorry,
so it's also the Rashi that sounds like there's actually no problem inside the shlichus of a mishalach dying.
That's a question. Ksos says the shlichus didn't really die when the person died, but that's already getting very metaphysical. That's how do you understand the metaphysical nature of shlichut? Once he's dead,
Ksos in general is called the vayavid as a shlichus issue.
Yeah.
What you're suggesting, and I think Rav understood it this way also, is that it might be a din in bailus.
So that's what we have within the Tosfos. Now,
that's why it also may be limited to minui shlichus for the same reason.
Right.
That isn't a separate point. That's part of the same thing. Why do you care about the difference between the kiyum shlichus and the minui shlichus?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly because the minui shlichus has the same requirement of what you're calling being beurav. What I would call tziruf lebailus.
Yeah. It's some sort of a tziruf between the bailim and the shliach, or the individual who's performing the act.
And that needs that
which is a notch less than shlichus, but nonetheless, we still require this principle of komilsa. So if I understand that there's a possible limitation, shall we say of the principle. In this type of situation where there would be just a chisaron metzius, but the person, at least the midine Torah, would be capable of doing it, so that doesn't seem to have any impact on our Tosos, because Tosos is not talking about a metzius question. Tosos is talking about a betoros question in terms of the nachri's ability to be able to perform tzimur. In which case, if the Nakhri doesn't have that ability, And you require some type of a tzirif between the Nachri and the Yisrael is going to be doing tzmura on his Biema, so clearly I'm still going to have a problem. Now, the Maharit has perhaps the most intriguing shita here. The Maharit says that if you look at the Gemara, the Maharit in the Kol Shem Mishpat Siman Chav Gimel, says if you look at the Gemara in Nazir, so the Gemara doesn't say, at least at the beginning, that the person has no ability to appoint a shliach to marry off one of the women who's currently a suratim at the time of the minoy shlichus. He just says that a person does not generally appoint a shliach for purposes of marrying a woman who is off limits to him. The actual lashon of the Gemara is Kimashvi shliach, but most of the kaimi kameh, but most of the lo kaimi kameh, lo mashvi shliach. So the Maharit says that he thinks that if it's made explicit, and this is how he gets out of the Hafrashas Chala problem, says if it's made explicit that you are appointing the shliach for something that is going to take place in the future, even though you're not capable of doing it right now. So he thinks that would work 100%. The Maharit has no problem with that whatsoever. He thinks that would be perfectly fine. The problem is that the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis in Nazir talks about the case of an appointment of an apotropos to be made by Nidarim for one's wife. And the Gemara says that the only way I would have had a Havamina, that it would have been okay, because the Gemara requires Xeris Akasu that it's not okay, Isha Yekimenu, Isha Yeperenu, but the Gemara says that I wouldn't have needed that Xeris Akasu unless I held that a husband has the capacity to be made fair a Nidarim that his wife is going to make in the future. If the husband himself didn't have the capacity to be made fair Nidarim that his wife is going to make in the future, so then, for sure, even without the Xeris HaKasuf, he would not have been able to appoint a shliach. And and in that case, he's appointing the apotropos for the very specific purpose of doing something if you held that he was not capable of being made for the Nedarim himself, then he's saying, even though I can't do it, even though it's something that hasn't taken place yet, I'm asking you very specifically to do this very specific act. And the Gemara says that this also would fall within the ambit of the principle of Kum Hilsa de Lo Avidiyu. So this, says the Machne Ephraim and others, appears to be a very compelling contradiction against the Shita of the Maharit. There is, you know, a potential way to try to get out of it by saying, well, he was going to Medina Sayyam, so even at the time that the apotropos would have been Mayfair, the neder, he wouldn't have been capable of doing it. And maybe the Maharit only means that he's able to appoint a shliach to do something he can't do right now. If at the time that the shliach would do it, then he would be capable of doing it at that point in time. But that appears to be a less compelling yishu for the Maharit and the Kasha against him. So it's generally assumed not like the Maharit. But here, the Nachri is never, at any point in time, going to be able to effectuate a Temura. So therefore, even according to the Maharit, it would appear that we would still be able to hold up, you know, the Shita of Tosus. It's a relatively wild or Shita that the Noda Behuda proposes that is not really accepted by anybody, la halacha, but the Noda Behuda, he has a sefer that he wrote early on, before the actual Shailos HaTshuvos, so the Noda Behuda called the Doresh Tzion. And in the Doresh Tzion of the Noda Behuda, he formulates an approach that says that if you have a, that the entire psul of Kol Milsa de Lo Avidiyu has nothing to do with the Mishaleach, it has to do with the incapacity of the Shaliach. But if the Shaliach is going to be capable of doing something, even though the Mishaleach can't do it right now, as long as the Mishaleach is Betoras, the ability to do it at some point in time, and the shliach will be able to do it. So then he says that the principle is not applicable. And he uses that to justify the hafrashas chala situation as well. But the note of Yehuda is generally not accepted la'alacha. But here, if you apply the note of Yehuda, you might be able to argue that the note of Yehuda himself, by the way, says that v'chim bnei shemidam milsa, you know, navi be'maise. He says, you know, because he was asked, why does he worry about the Mishnah Lamelech to require the get, the hashlashas, the shvua, that the husband's going to write a new get when the wife recovers? The husband is betoras gittin right now. The shliach himself, you know, is able to deliver a get. So he thought that that based on that svara, maybe you wouldn't have to require a new get. But the Noda Behuda says that I'm not prepared to rely upon this svara myself. But here it requires, though, that the Meshalech be in a Gedor of Betoras. Since he's not in a Gedor of Betoras, so it would make sense, presumably based on all of these different arguments, that the Tosfos still has a compelling case, that if the Nachri is not able to do the Temura, he wouldn't be able to appoint he wouldn't be able to authorize the Yisrael to appoint the Temura on his behalf. So there's a very interesting Chsam Sofer, which is also described by the Dvar Avram, that says perhaps the biggest Chiddush, and that is that sometimes you have a situation where the Iker of the situation can only be done ayyadei shliach, where it was set up in such a way where it's only supposed to be done ayyadei shliach. What's a good example of that? Mishloach manos ish l'reyeu, right? It's a question as to whether you can only fulfill mishloach manos ayyadei shliach. That's the suffix of the binyan tzion, because it's presented in a fashion of mishloach manos ish l'reyeu, that the entire way the mitzvah is fulfilled is through shlichus, is through a mishloach type of a situation, which is, I guess, the pashut way of reading the pasuk. Even though the Gemara itself never really indicates that that's the way that you have to perform mishloach manos. There's one reading of the Ran based on the Gemara about mechalpi sudusayu and dafe, I think Hayam Abeis in Megillah, that interprets the Ran that way, but even that is a stretch of the imagination. But Afo Pikein, the Lashon that's used is Mishloach. So the Ksam Sofer says even a monkey can deliver Mishloach Manos. That's the Lashon of the Ksam Sofer. Didn't get into trouble here. But he said, this is Ksam Sofer and Chav Beis Amud Aleph of Maseches Gittin, uses that Lashon. And his basic explanation is that since this is something where the Ikka Mitzvah is performed Ayyadei Shlichus, therefore we don't apply the principle of Kol Milsa D'lo Avidiyu. You don't have to go through all of the particularities of Shlichus in order for the Mitzvah to be properly performed. And Rav Ram says exactly the same thing at greater length. So if that's the case, then one could make the following crazy argument. Going back to the very beginning of our Chabura, at the very beginning of the Chabura, I mentioned that why do we have the headache of this whole Lashon of Kol HaRotze LaHamir to begin with? Why don't we have a clearer Lashon? So I said, well, because we had to come up with a Lashon that differentiated this case from a standard case where the person is doing Tzmura himself. Because the Gemara said that I have two different categories. I have Temura Ayyadei Atzmo, and I have Temura Ayyadei Acherim. The way that Temura Ayyadei Acherim works is in such a fashion where the Baalim have to be somewhat removed from the picture. There can't be a direct link between the Baalim and the Temura, because if there be a direct link between the Baalim and the Temura, so that would be Lo Yamir Oso. That wouldn't be the lo yachlifenu case of ayyadei acherim. So therefore, I need this ayyadei acherim to be talking about a situation where it's specifically the middleman, specifically the second person who's really doing all the work, who's really the main person here. Yeah, I need a kesher, I need a tziruf between the bialim and this individual, whether I call him a shliach, whether I call him a ba kocho, but he is the main person in the picture over here, not the bialim. So once he's the main person in the picture over here, so then I no longer am governed by all the standard dinei shlichus. And according to the Ksam Sofer, according to Dvar Avraham, I'm no longer governed by the principle of Kamilsa Diyu Lomatzi Ovid, Shliach Nami Lomatzi Mashvi, in which case I no longer can support the premise of Tosfos. Namely, that it necessarily would follow that if a Yisrael would be able to do Tzemura on a korban of the Akum, that it necessarily has to follow that the Akum would be capable of doing it himself. And therefore, Hadra Kushyon Leduchte, if I accept this premise. So I could say, and this is probably why some do say this, like the Mari Korkus, for example, quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, as well as the Kanei Re'em, that the whole kasha of Tosfos doesn't even get off the ground, because fundamentally we don't hold like the premise that Rabbi Yossi is arguing with Rabbi Shimon on the question of Tmura, and in fact Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Shimon with respect to the question of Tmura, and would agree that a Nachri does not have the ability to do a Tmura, and the entire question which is raised by the Gemara is a question which is being raised bein l'Rabbi Shimon and bein l'Rabbi Yossi as to under what circumstances there would be the possibility of performing Tmura with respect to Kochei Akum, in which case the Gemara's conclusion is that we're dealing with a case or where the kachim are kachim of Yisrael. Kachay Akum, which are meant to be niskaper through Yisrael. But in fact, there is a question as to whether the Yisrael would be able to effectuate a tmura or not. So that all is fine and good until you get to the Rambam, and we'll finish by looking at the Rambam. Rambam, Hilchos Tmura, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Halacha Vav. Okay, so just to go over that last point for a moment. In other words, when we say that there's no real machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon over here, so it doesn't make sense anymore to talk about a Yisrael doing tzemura with Kochei Akum, because it's not even a function of the ability of the Akum to transfer his koach ha-tzemura to a Yisrael. If Kochei Akum would have been able to do Tzemura, then inachinami, a Yisrael could have done the Tzemura, because I don't need for the Akum to be capable of doing the Tzemura in order for the Yisrael to be able to do the Tzemura. But Lamaise, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are agreeing that if it in fact is pure Kochei Akum without a Yisrael component, then it is not subject to Tzemura. So the Rambam says, En Kochei Goyim Osin Tzemura Min HaTorah. Then in fact it is simply not subject to Tmura altogether, unless, you know, I'm able to somehow package it as Kochei Yisrael. We're not going to focus on this is not the Chabura. that the Rambam says midivrei sofrim, there's a tumura. This has nothing to do with any of the discussion we've had up until now. This simply has to do with whether you understand that everything that Rabbi Shimon was saying was on a derabat rabbanon level, because he was saying lo nanim lo molin midrabanon. So just like he was saying lo nanim lo molin midrabanon, so therefore the Rambam understands when it was ein el osin tumura. So the kache akum is also ein osin tumura on a deraisa level, yes, but on a derabanon level. So then we're going to, just like we say, there's a mi'ilah on a derabanan level, so there's going to be the ability of tamura on a derabanan level. But then the next line of the Rambam is very interesting. The Rambam says, Hikdish agoy behema, shiskape ba Yisrael. If the goy was makdish a behema, shiskape ba Yisrael, that's the case. Behemer ba hagoy, harezu suffik tamura. If the person who does the tamura is the goy, so then that's going to be a suffik tamura. So the question on the Rambam is twofold. One, the sugya seems to indicate the maskana that a goy for sure is not able to do tamura, and it has a suffik as to whether the Yisrael is going to be able to do tamura. So the Rambam seems to be working with the assumption, this is how Rav Aaron Cutler presents it in Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, that with respect to the issue of Yisrael, of course the Yisrael can do a tamura. Yisrael can always do a tamura. But the question is that can a goy effectuate tamura with respect to this korban? So on the one end, we thought we had a suffix about a Yisrael, which was left as kind of a teku in our Gemara. And the answer is no. Yisrael, of course, could do tamura. And we thought that a goy for sure could not do tamura. And the Rambam concludes that, of course, a goy can do tamura. So this is kind of interesting. So what's going on within the Rambam Shita? So here we have an interesting machlokis as to the wording in the Rambam, when the Rambam said, Hikdish hagoy behema shiyiskape bo Yisrael. So the Minchas Chinuch says in the mitzvah Shin Nun Beis, that when the Rambam says shiyiskape bo Yisrael, that is lav dafka. And he says that when the Rambam says behemer ba hagoy harezu suffik tamura, Hitaka is saying that even if it was not shiskape ba Yisrael, the Rambam is assuming that there is a suffik tamura on the part of the goy. So now we're getting back to behemas hagoy again, and suddenly we find us back in the territory of Kodshei Akum, and says what would be the svara behind that? So the svara behind that explains Rav Aaron Cutler would run as follows. There is two different, questions that are raised by the Gemara. One question is whether Kodshei Akum have the ability of effectuating tamura, and the other question is whether an Akum himself has the ability to be able to make the truma. Okay. So he says that if the behema completely belongs to the Yisrael, okay, if the behema completely belongs to the Yisrael, so then obviously that's going to be better, because I'm not dealing with a kachi akum situation. So obviously that's going to be better. So he says, therefore,
you're talking about Liskaper?
If it's going to be Liskaper, right. In other words, if it's a situation of Liskaper, then it's going to be turned into a Korban Shel Yisrael, that's going to be better. In such a situation, just pardon me, let me collect my thoughts here for a moment. Because I was just thinking about this before. One second. Just give me a moment here. Just lost my train of thought for a moment.
This is if it's not Lindach's Chinuch, right?
Yeah, I have to just read my notes here. I don't have either the Svarm in front of me. One second. I want to bother you too. Excuse me for one moment. Okay, it's like this. Excuse me for a second. Okay, I have to revise something. I knew it wasn't coming out right. The Kachi Akum out of the picture. Okay? Here's the machlokus. The machlokus between Rav Aaron and actually Rav Yoshev and the Avi Ezri goes like this. When the Rambam says that we have a suffix in the case of Shiskapeh by Yisrael, is that only in the case where the Goy originally was Maktish the Korban, and now I have the Goy is going to do the Maiseh Tmura? So says Rav Yoshev, yeah, because here the Esem Kedusha was Ayadei Nochri. So normally a Nachri is not able to effectuate Temura because Kachi Akum ain't no sin Temura. But here it's not Kachi Akum anymore, so I have a suffix whether in this case, since it's Kachi Yisrael, maybe I'll give the Nachri the ability to do a Maisa Temura be Kachi Yisrael in the situation where the Nachri had a Shaychus to the Korban. Since the Nachri had a Shaychus to the Korban, there was this Esem Kedusha, this Korban is subject to Temura because of the fact that she's Skapeh Bo Yisrael. Therefore, I have a suffix, according to the Rambam, that maybe in this particular case, the Nachri would be able to do the Temura. Okay? That's number one. However, in a case where the Nachri had nothing to do with it, where it was only a Korban Yisrael, so of course, a Nachri is not able to do the Temura. Says the Minchas Chinuch, as well as Rav Aaron Cutler, they say, no, when the Rambam said she's Skapeh Bo Yisrael, even in a case where it started out as the Nachri who endowed the animal with the Kedusha, nonetheless, the Rambam is interpreting the Ibayah of the Gemara as to whether the Nachri has the ability to endow this behemoth with Kedusha. But Kol Shekein, if I'm saying that a Nachri would be able to endow the behemoth with a Temura in a case where it started out through the source of a Nachri, Kol Shekein, if it didn't start out through the source of a Nachri, if it started out through the source of a Yisrael, Kol Shekein, then a Nachri would be able to do Temura. So Minchas Chinuch asks the question, though. Minchas Chinuch says, however, I don't understand that since the ability of an Acher, of somebody else, to be able to accomplish Temura is only when I have some sort of a transferal of a quasi-shlichus, as we've been talking about, from the Bailim to the Nachri, and a Nachri is not in the parsha of shlichus. So therefore, how can I have such an Ibaya altogether, and particularly in the case where it starts out as a Korban Yisrael? I understand maybe according to the way that Rav Yoshev understands the Ibaya according to the Rambam, that it really, even though the Miskapis Yisrael started out as the Nachri, so maybe he has some ability, but in the case where if I understand like the Minchas Chinuch, and I understand like Rav Aaron Kotler, that if it's a solely a Korban Shel Yisrael, and the Rambam is still paskening that the Nachri would have the ability, and it would have to be a case like the Lecha Mishnah explains over here, where it's like the Gemara says in Tesam and Aleph, where the Yisrael says Kol Rotzil Hamir Yavo VeYamir. Okay, the Lecha Mishnah reads that into the case of the Miskaper, and the Minchas Chinuch is reading that even into the case where the Yisrael is Makdish the Beim altogether. So he's clearly the Bailim. So how can it possibly be that the Nachri would be able to create even a Suffolk Tzmur in that case, since clearly a Suffolk and a Daraisa level that the Rambam is talking about? This isn't Midivrei Sofrim. This is a Suffolk and a Daraisa level, as the Lecha Mishnah points out. So the answer could be that this is also based on the same principle, that since the only way that the Nachri got into the picture over here in the case of the Korban, that the Yisrael was Makdish, was through this notion of lo yachalifenu al yedei acherim, and that the ikar, you know, could do a way of being mekayim, that aspect of lo yachalifenu is al yedei acher, so therefore it wouldn't be subject to normal dinei shlichus, and that would be the answer to the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch, as to why it would be that even though the Nachri is not b'torah shlichus, and this could be working as kind of like a quasi-torah shlichus on the korban of the Yisrael, that there's still the possibility that maybe the Nachri would be able to effectuate Tzemurah, and again, that would be against the premise of Tosfos, that in every single case of Tzemurah, in order for the Acherim to be able to effectuate the Tzemurah, I would have to be able to apply effectively the principle of Mi'emar, of Kol Milsa, the Lo Avidiyu, Shiach Nami, Lo Matzi Mashvei. According to what we're saying, it's not Mukhrak at all that we have to apply that principle altogether, and that would explain the presentation of the Rambam, even the way that it's understood by the Minchas Chinuch and by Rav Aaron Kotler.
But this is on the Shliach side, not the Mishaleach.
This is on the Shliach side. That's
so you
correct.
Might also make that chilah.
That's correct.
Even if you hold Kol Yivayav and Shlichi by Mashvi on the Mishaleach side, it's not 100%, and even if it's you don't need shlichas, it's not so clear that you would say the parallel on the, what we won't call the shlich. If you really don't need shlichas, it's possible that it's not, I mean, you could, another way to answer the question is, if it's not meeting shlichas, the Nachri doesn't have that limitation either. Because he's not the Mishaleach,
right.
He's not the, well, I have to give him another
Nachri,
name.
Right.
He's not the equivalent of the Mishaleach, he's the equivalent of the Shliach, right?
You're talking about the case where the Makdish was the Nachri.
No, you're bothered about. By the case Minchas Chinuch if the Makdish was the Yisrael.
That's correct.
Right, so if the Makdish is the Yisrael, but you're still saying that the Safek of the Rambam is whether the Nachri can do the Tmura.
Correct.
So that's not the parallel to Kol Yivayav et Shlichi by Mashvi. That's the Mishaleach.
It's the parallel.
The Yisrael is the Mishaleach.
No, it's the parallel to the Ksam Sofer's case. It's the parallel
the
to
shliach.
The case of no, right, exactly. We're sending the shliach who's the kof,
right?
You know,
right.
You know,
once
or somebody who's not, you know, in the parsha.
Right. So that itself could be the difference. No, you don't necessarily have to assume that kol yivayav et shlichi by mashvi, that equivalent applies on the shliach level, right? And especially if you don't need shlichas, because
right,
let's
exactly.
Start off the whole thing by saying. Kol Yivayav et Shlichi by Mashvi may be something that goes me'eber l'hilchos shlichos. So if you don't technically need shliach, just like the lishma, the tmura, even if it doesn't need shlichos, but whether or not that equivalent halacha would apply on the shliach level, if you don't need shlichos, if you need shlichos, it does.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not a din shlichos, it's a din of receiving the authorization of the bailim and being able to be poel as somebody who will receive that.
Right, within Tosfos, I was saying it even on the Mishaleach level. Meaning
no, for Tosfos it is about the Mishaleach.
Exactly, because Tosfos is talking about when the Nachri is the
is
one
the
who
Makdish
the Korban, and
right,
I'm suggesting
right,
that it doesn't
right.
have to follow.
I'm agreeing, I'm just saying another point in the Rambam, yeah. If you wanted to, is to highlight that, especially if you go like the Minchas Chinuch, this is all about the person who's actually implementing the Tumura, not the Bailim for whom it's being implemented.
Right. Yachinami. Okay, Rabbi Chalap.
First of all, I apologize if it's late. And I think it's a principle you even contribute anything. I'm saying, what has yet been shielded for a long time since I've been here. I think that key word, but you're saying it a different way, everybody's saying I find the key word in Tosfos. Tosfos says over there that the whole thing is not kana. With that kana, a goy couldn't really do it. A pig did. He was only able to do it out in Tikkun. That's what Tosfos is key words. So Tikkun could be anything. They made him do this, and then he could have said later on, in the Tikkun, he can make a tour. See, he's not making a tour house, a tour of a Torah. He's making a tour of the Tikkun. And he thought he'd do the whole thing. That's the opening. That one word was somehow lost.
Where are you?
Right. I think it's stated in the Rambam.
Huh?
I think it's somehow stated in the Rambam that since the Rambam suffered, followed the chores.
I want to say that explains a lot.
Well,
I tell you that the first Tosfos you have there, the Tosfos on top.
That's called the E.
So you see that he uses the word Tikkun there. If he uses the word Tikkun, so Tikkun means that they made a Tikkun. It's a body politic question.
Uh-huh.
They came along, they said, a guy can do it. If you want, then the question is, let's do it. We're not going to tell him, a guy, don't do it. We had yesterday this fellow, you remember,
yeah.
We had the guy, he felt bad there. what's his name?
Yeah.
What was the guy's name yesterday? Who the jurist?
Scalia.
Scalia.
I know exactly. We want to see if you know it. So, but the fact of the matter is, that the Tikkun they could do anything with. They made a Tikkun, it has a dinner of Tikkun, and then
they
if you say that one word, the whole thing is explained.
Different doses.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see this word in the Rambam.
Yeah.
See that because the Suffolk follows
and
the Rambam says that it's only the Dibri Sufrim, that it's only the Suffolk on the bottom level.
That's just not that way.
Well, there's... Right.
I'm not saying everybody holds it that Dakar, but Tosfos mentions it.
Mentions the Dakar of the Ovid Kakar, Mishim Shah,
the
loss of
Menisto. It's not just that they made a special Dakar there. So they said it's this, they certainly could be a tomorrow too. They want the guy to feel good. You can send a tomorrow. And if you want, and you can send a curry.
I think that's the that's.
But Al's Din of Tikkunah, but not Al's Din of. It had nothing to do with the rest of us.
That's likely the meaning of the first sentence of the Rambam.
Yeah.
The Rambam's
says
it's very
self-evident.
Okay.
There
we go. Okay. Okay.
Good.
Okay. Good.
Good.
Okay. Okay.
Good.
All right.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Yes. I think the Minchas Chinuch also discusses near the question of the Shlichus.
He does. The Minchas Chinuch asks the Kashi, because the Minchas Chinuch says, that's why he asks the Kashi.
That's why he has trouble with the
Yeah,
I want to tell you something.
He doesn't even qualify.
It's not even Shlichus, and the idea that they're Klal would carry over anyway makes more sense than called Ibai Yavid Shlichimai Mashni, than it doesn't call Shliach. Called you Ibai Yavid Shliach Ibai Mashni.
Right.
It's too.
I mean, it was interesting to me that the Minchas Chinuch doesn't even try to qualify the Shlichus idea at all. He just works with the assumption the whole thing is Shlichus, and he says, and therefore,
I have
a
Kasher Pamilsa Yibol Avid.
You know,
I
want
to say something very interesting. I don't want your voice to but mostly, maybe when I put the references, Alma Meltzer thing, I told you that it began with the Shea Kata. So if you read the part, so the Shea Kata, I left one thing out and I couldn't say it. Shea Kata called me up that day 6 times. He had to speak to me. The first thing was, who wrote Bottas? Your father's Bottas, who wrote it? So I said, my father. He said, but who wrote it for you? We back had notes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he didn't have notes. So I said, my father wrote it. He said, because it's so simple to understand everything. I just got the Mishnah. Mishnah, I gave a man a great big
couple
to do Mishnah,
Mishnah Sarayan.
Mishnah
Sarayan is a Kashuk. It's very clear.
I don't understand the word.
Okay.
They say he's a Maggid Shir also. It's very hard.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand what he said. So I wanted to get to. I said, my father. He said, what did your father tell you? He was the goodest rabbi in the world. He said.
It's very good.
I said, you haven't seen anything yet.
He told me that he didn't make changes.
That I want to say. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm very upset with you. You did.
and you're like, oh, you can have it.
Someone turn this off. This is...
Nah, it's far.
You don't know how to turn this off. It says... Pause?
What?
It says pause?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.